G'day folks, and welcome back to Happy Days. This is your pal Jesse on the mic, thanking each and every single one of you for returning with me to this fun little podcast, proudly brought to you by Freak Productions. If you haven't been there yet, check us out. It's worth it. Now, this is the first episode for 2023. And it's been a minute, and we apologize for the delays. Just got busy working on new books, lots of creations. So, again, go to the Freak Productions website, you'll see what I've been up to. But as well as that, I've been doing two weekly podcasts with my pal Jake on the Freaky Rad channel, which has been a lot of fun. So, we've been doing every Friday. Freaky Friday, the horror podcast, as well as every Saturday with Rad, which is a really cool 80s, 90s, and anything else kind of rad that's near and dear to our hearts. We've been doing that every week for quite some time now, so it's a lot of fun. But this week, we return, and I've done an interview which I haven't done for a while. I did it as a special favor, so massive thanks to Chris Marrick for setting this up. And I had a chat with Tony Campos, bass player for Static X. He's also the bass player in Ministry, as well as Fear Factory, Soulfly, Assassino. The list goes on, man. This guy's done a lot. He's an amazing human being. I've had the privilege of not only meeting him on a couple of occasions, but one of my first international tour supports was for Static X. And this is surreal to have this conversation on this very podcast with one of my heroes and an outstanding human being. So without further ado, enjoy this episode. I sure did. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Chat with me, mate. My name's Jesse, and it's really, honestly, truly an honor to speak to you, mate. You're a dead set legend, one of the nicest guys I've met, and had the absolute privilege of talking to.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know if I live up to all that.
You're doing all right. You're doing all right, mate. This must be like Groundhog Day for you at the moment, man, because you've been doing these chats all morning, chatting to people left, right, and center about probably answering the same million questions. So I'll try not to repeat things for you. How's that sound?
All right, go for it, man.
Sounds all right. Cool, mate. Cool. Well, I mean, first off the bat, I mean, Australia, what's your relationship like with Australia?
I love Australia, man. I've always said if for some reason, like, I got banned from living in L.A. I don't live there. I'd go to Sydney or Melbourne.
Sydney or Melbourne. What about sunny Queensland, mate?
That works for me too.
Well, but the thing is, I'll ride with you on this one. Melbourne is pretty damn cool. It's got a lot of culture going on, and it's definitely got a really cool live music scene down there, so it's probably right up your alley, man. So yeah.
I've had good times, and you know, even in Perth.
Yeah.
I know bands don't go out there as much anymore, but yeah, every town I've been in has been awesome.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. I see. You played the Whiskey a Go Go the other night with just totally unrelated. Played with doing a Fear Factory set with my boys in Lions at the Gate. How fun is playing the Whiskey for you?
Oh, yeah. It's always a blast, man. Yeah, get to play that place.
Yeah.
You know, we Static X cut their teeth at that place. So
Yeah,
it's always fun to go back.
When you, like, here's one for you. Like, when you first started playing the Whiskey and cutting your teeth with Static, did you, like, because I played there once many moons ago, and man, I just completely geeked out. I just was like, man, I'm standing on the same stage that Van Halen, Black Sabbath, even Charles Manson has been on. Like, did you get a buzz like that being on that stage?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Like way before then, I'd been going there, you know, to go see some of my favorite bands play, you know. So to get the jump up on that stage, pretty monumental.
Yeah, and like you mentioned going to those gigs and seeing all those bands. Did that have like a massive, profound effect on you? Deciding that you wanted to play in bands and play metal for that matter?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just they get to see, you know, some of my favorite bands playing up there with more production than what I was used to doing, you know, in doing gigs in backyards.
Yeah, man.
So it's like, yeah, that's big time.
And you can't hear anything. Can't hear vocals, nothing. You just think, yeah, that sounds all right.
It's like, look, they have monitors.
Yeah. Whereas today you got in-ear monitors and everything. And that must blow your mind, man, right? Man.
Yeah, totally.
Give me shitty floor monitors any day, man. It's great. Nothing beats that. Yeah. But you've been to Australia a few times, like obviously with Static X, but also Soulfly, Ministry, I believe, as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, like,
yeah.
I mean, those experiences for you playing in those bands, playing in another country, I mean, that must make you feel all kinds of proud as a guy and as a musician as well, right? Is there like some moment where you think to yourself, man, this was worth all the sacrifice and everything, right?
I mean, it certainly, it's certainly a cool feeling to get to do what you love and get to go, you know, around the world. And do it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Especially, you know, with my situation where I got to play with some of my favorite bands and some of my favorite musicians.
Yeah.
That makes it extra special.
And obviously Uncle Al's pretty cool to you.
Yeah, I always refer to him as the demented grandfather I never had.
I hear that a lot. That's amazing, man.
I mean, that first tour I did with him, like, I would, after the show, I'd just hang out, drink wine, and listen to him to tell stories, you know, I imagine that's what it must have been like to be a kid and listen to your grandfather tell stories.
Absolutely.
instead of wholesome stories that a regular grandfather would tell, you know, I'll tell you stories about cooking heroin off of on the top of dead people's heads, kinds of crazy shit.
It doesn't get much crazier than that, man. That's for sure, man.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that just blew my mind. But getting to Static X itself, like Static X 2023. I mean, what's the vibe like in the band right now, man? Obviously, it's off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, we're all just having a blast and we're so grateful to be where we're at.
Yeah.
Grateful to the fans, grateful to Wayne's family for letting us do this. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been great.
I have nothing but warm memories of my very first international support was opening for you guys in Brisbane many moons ago. And, man, you guys were just... One thing I can take away from that experience as well as meeting Wayne was that you guys were just the coolest dudes to not just the fans, but to the other bands as well. You're just like down to earth, just openly cool. And yeah, I got nothing but mad respect for you guys for doing that.
Yeah. I mean, we've been in that spot and we know the struggles and, we're appreciative. Where we're at, we know how lucky we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And like, the production now, like, I've seen a few YouTube videos of the current production. Man, it is something else, man. Like, some of the, like, for instance, like, the lighting and just the little things you guys do for songs like Cold. Absolutely brilliant. Like, you've really raised the bar in terms of the stage show that you're putting on now. Is that kind of a preview of the sort of thing we can expect here in Australia?
Yeah, we'll bring as much. I don't know how much we'll be able to bring.
Freight's a bitch.
Airline cargo restrictions being what they are. But you know, we'll bring what we can.
Well, you got to make room to fit a kangaroo in your suitcase, no doubt.
Yeah.
But no, look, I think, honestly, at the end of the day, I think the fans will just be happy to hear the music once again, because the last tour you guys did was just unbelievable, man. Just the song sounded great. Zero, you know, you close your eyes and it's you feel like you're listening to Wayne. So, I mean, does it give you chills? Living this experience today?
Yeah, I mean, it's just to see people, you know, still enjoy and appreciate all these songs we did, you know, 20 plus years ago.
Yeah,
you know, it's still just like really absolutely cool thing to see.
Is there a particular song that you always look forward to playing live, or a couple of songs, or if not all of them?
Push it, because it means I can go drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, mate, that's a valid excuse. And may I ask, what is the beverage of choice today for Tony?
On stage, I'll drink like one or two Dos Equis beers, and I'll do a shot or two of tequila before I go on. And I actually got Koichi to start, like I had to twist his arm, you know. But yeah,
that could be
like
dangerous.
Hey, you know what? He's like, hey, you know what? Give me one of those. So I was like, all right, here we go.
Actually, with Koichi, have you dabbled, you know, like something closer to home for him? Have you tried Japanese sake?
Oh yeah, I love sake. Yeah, cold unfiltered sake. I got turned on to that one of the last trips we took to Japan.
Yeah, yeah,
and yeah, I love that stuff.
I call sake like the quiet assassin, man. It just creeps up on you when you least expect it, taps you on the shoulder and goes, hey, man, you're drunk.
Yeah.
It's kind of less obvious than tequila. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dos Equis a pretty good brand of beer too, man. Do you have is that your go-to Mexican beer that you like?
Yeah. Yeah, for beer, yeah. That's my go-to.
Yeah, it kind of blew me away. Like, when I went to Juarez a few moons ago, everyone was drinking Corona, and I thought that was the last thing people would be drinking, because to me, I thought that was like the equivalent of Foster's here in Australia.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I just thought it was kind of
it's
like
the tourists. It's like the tourists drink the Corona and the Foster's, you know, but the real OGs drink VB and Dos Equis or Modelo's.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, man, exactly. and coming to Australia, like, you know, you're saying Sydney and Melbourne's kind of like favorite places to want to live and stuff if LA kicks you out. What sort of things are you most excited about reliving in Australia? Like, you know, is it the food, the people, like kangaroos?
Oh, the people, man. And, people out there are awesome, man.
Yeah.
Metalheads, ragers out there. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And there's always like a rock club open at the end of the night, you know? So it's awesome.
Yeah, especially in Melbourne, man. Like, you go to Cherry Bar or something like that. There's so many cool.
Yeah, Cherry Bar. Bars. Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Have That's... many good nights there. Cherry Bar.
Yeah.
there's Frankie's Pizza. That place. Yeah, that place is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, sadly, Frankie's no longer with us, man. But I know, right? Memory remains, man. But in terms of Australia too, like, is there Australian delicacies that you've tried and gone, oh man, like, I wish we had this back home, like a, say, Australian meat pie or a Vegemite sandwich.
You know, this may sound odd, but at least here in LA, it's hard to find a good kebab.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So when I go to Oz, I always got to have at least one kebab.
Absolutely, man. I reckon it's hard to pick. I think one of the best kebabs I had was actually, you're gonna probably think this sounds weird, but in Camden in England.
I swear
to God, man. Yeah, it was like 2 a.m. and I had this kebab and I went, dude, I actually walked back in and said, this is quite possibly the greatest kebab I've ever had, man. Thank you. It was just it was life-changing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But no, they got some good kebabs out there.
They do, man. They do. And Australia does really well too, man. It's kind of like I don't know. It's kind of like a safe place you can go to at 3 a.m. when you've had a pretty good night on the tequilas and the Dos Equis and you're like, yeah, I need something to soak this up. Yep. Let's do this.
Yeah.
No, it's good, man. It's good. I won't hold you up too much longer because I'm pretty sure we're sort of time press, but I did have one question about for Static X, just going back in the blast from the past a little bit. There was a time you guys dressed up as members of KISS and played, and for me that's kind of like one of the highlight reel favorite moments I ever seen of you guys.
Yeah, we would do it for Halloween shows. Yeah, and it's something we started doing, you know, back in the early club days, you know, when we got,
yeah,
you know, before we got a record deal, you know, we play Halloween and we throw on the KISS makeup.
That's so cool, man. Was that your idea or was that Wayne's idea?
No, I mean, Kenny and Wayne are big, huge KISS fans, and they actually turned me on to old school makeup KISS, because when I was coming up,
yeah,
KISS had already taken off the makeup. They were doing Lick It Up, you know. Gene Simmons looked like that old comedian lady, Phyllis Diller. You know, so I was just like, you know, and back then, you know, I was like, you know, a hardcore punker kid, and I was like, what is this crap? You know? But those guys, those guys turned me on to you know, the old school stuff, you know, Love Gun, that kind of shit. And then they took me to go see them on that first reunion tour when they put the makeup back on, and I was like, all right, now I get it.
That would seal the deal, man. That's so cool, man. I mean, speaking of like influence real quick, obviously, you know, your roots are more punk, hardcore metal and that. I mean, was there a definitive band in your catalog that, you know, coming up and listening, that really sort of made you want to pick up a bass or pick up a guitar for that matter?
I would say made me pick it up, because it was actually a friend that a childhood friend.
Yeah,
that moved back into the neighborhood, and he played guitar. He was a metalhead, and he's like, "Hey, Tony, go get a bass." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I got a bass. I didn't really know what to do with it, but then you know, I got turned on to some cool albums, and I just stuck with it, and here I am today, still playing. I'd say like those records that really inspired me to play bass. Metallica's Kill 'Em All, because it had the Cliff Burton bass solo. The first Cryptic Slaughter album. Convicted.
Yeah.
Rob Nicholson's playing on that. still to this day.
That's so cool. It's
inspiring
man.
To me. Yeah. And SOD, Speak English or Die.
Hell yeah.
Dan Locher's bass playing on that was just killer. Killer tone, killer distorted tone. Made me want to play with distortion.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's great, man. I got a lot of mad love for a lot of the old school thrash. You know, just because it's just so dirty and raw and just right in your face. It just doesn't get much better than
that. Yeah. Production wise, it's not much, but you know, the energy
that's captured exactly
on those records, man. That's what I love about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, is that the kind of thing that you try to carry into what you do today?
Yeah. I mean, you always want to try and capture the best energy and vibe on a record you can, but you know, obviously now with way better production.
yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, like, just real quick, like, what's your take on the current state of metal today? I mean, I don't really ask in terms of a brutal, honest opinion or anything like that, but just a vibe, like, how you feel about metal today? You feel like it's in a good place? It's great that a lot of the, you know, the bands like Static X and all the others are playing still and everything. And I just kind of curious.
The beauty of the metal scene is it just from when I came up to what it is now, it's like how much it's expanded and how many varieties of metal there are now. And I just think that just speaks to the expressive power of metal.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it. Like, I might not personally get some of these subgenres, but I'm all for it, man.
Yeah.
I'm all for it, man. You keep expressing yourself and, you know, forging different paths with it, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, it's so cool, man. It's so cool. Well, Tony, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate the time you've spent with me, mate. And, man, honestly, I know all of Australia is looking forward to seeing you guys rock the Casbah again, to say the least. But, are you looking forward to throwing a bit of slang out there to your Aussie fans?
No, I hate the flight, but I know once I get there, it'll all be worth it, man.
Absolutely, mate. Binge watch a few movies and that on the flight, mate.
Yeah, if I can't get drunk and pass out, yeah, I guess I'll do that.
Yeah, try one of those too, mate.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, mate. Well, enjoy the rest of your drive, and mate, have a safe journey to Australia, and
right on,
hopefully we catch up for a Dos Equis, mate.
Yeah, sounds good, bro.
All right, man. All the best.
All right. Take it easy, man.
You too.
Bye.
And that concludes my chat with Tony Campos of Static X and Fear Factory and Soulfly and Ministry and Asesino. Forgive me if I've left anyone out. But thanks so much, Tony, for taking the time to chat to me. Thanks massively to Marek Media for setting this up. And it feels good to be back in the saddle doing these great little chats. Happy Days will be returning. Whether it's weekly or not, we're not sure yet. But stay tuned, because I'll give you an update episode with some exciting news about what we'll be featuring on this podcast. We're going to shuffle things up a little bit. And I'll still be having chats with friends, but going to add a little something extra just to make things just jovial and fun. Cool. Till then, like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. And be sure to check out all the previous episodes. There's plenty of them with some really good conversations with amazing human beings. Till then, go check out Freak Productions and have yourselves a happy week, a positive week. And my name's been Jesse, and you've been awesome. Have a good one. Stay happy.